Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
I'm reading from Isaiah 43, verses 15 through 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. And from Hebrews 13, 1 through 3, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, but this week didn't exactly go as planned for me. But as I spent the week reflecting on these texts provided by the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and this video provided by the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and offering for global missions, and as I spent some time with some field personnel in Decatur, Georgia, and the executive director of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, I began to see that God might be up to something in this week that didn't quite go according to plan. And so I want to just share, not so much a sermon, but some reflections on the week and how I have sensed the Spirit of God at work in our broader fellowship. I started the week looking for a specific book, one by Philip Jenkins called The Next Christendom. It was published in 2002, and it was assigned reading in Dr. Bill Leonard's Christian History class. Like most of those books, though, I can't tell you what the details of the arguments are that the authors are making. But on a good day, I can tell you generally what the book is about. And on a good day, I can find the book on my shelf and go looking for the quotes that I want to then bring to you. So this week, I went looking for that book. And I looked for 3 days. Because I knew that the contents of the book would help me prepare this reflection, and I wanted to have it done before I boarded the plane. I knew that the contents of the book would help me add to what Elkett and some others have already said in the OGM video, that it would help me connect the message about what our field personnel are doing around the world and even here in our own backyards. We all know Mark and Kim Wyatt. I knew that if I could find the book, it would help me connect the scripture, which talks about the new thing that God is doing and how that relates to what the author of the book of Hebrews says when he reminds us that by showing hospitality to strangers, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So I looked for the book for 3 days, and y'all, I still don't know where the book is. So I grabbed another book that I thought I remembered had a similar theme. I threw it in my bag and I boarded the plane for the governing board meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. While at the meeting, I had the honor and privilege of hearing some of the most powerful words I've ever heard in my life. I had the privilege of hearing the powerful words of the opening remarks of the CBF moderator, Reverend Juan Garcia, the pastor of the Hispanic congregation at First Baptist Church, Newport News, Virginia, and the moderator of our fellowship. It's a normal thing for the moderator of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship to offer opening remarks, but what is not normal is for everyone gathered in the room for those opening remarks to swarm the moderator and ask for a copy of the manuscript. And that is what happened on Friday morning. Juan has been brave and generous enough to allow his words to be published, so pay attention to CBF's blog. If they're not there already, they will be, no doubt. But today, I just want to share some of what Juan shared, and I share this with his permission. Friends, fellow ministers, and fellow leaders of our Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, I know you are not unaware of what is going on. The executive orders signed by our president and the enforcement then of those orders that have happened just a week into the presidency. However, what you may not be aware of is the pain and the emotional impact that all of this is having on our Latino and otherwise immigrant community and our churches, because these orders don't necessarily impact you directly. I don't want you to be ignorant about how this is affecting your fellow human beings, people who our God loves, people whom we are called to love and minister to, people who are members of our CBF churches, people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Hispanic community in this country, regardless of immigration status, documented or undocumented, is afraid, is suffering, is being targeted and persecuted, is wondering when they will be the next victims of an ICE raid or when someone will call immigration on them or what will happen to their children if they get arrested and deported. Even your moderator, a U.S. citizen, is concerned and afraid. "I'm afraid," he said, "for what might happen to me and my family because we are brown, because we have accents, because we speak primarily Spanish or Spanglish," the only time anyone laughed, "because we do ministry with and for the Hispanic community." And then Pastor Garcia went on to tell a story about what happened in his sanctuary just a few days prior, last Sunday. He said, like us, they end their service with an invitation, a time for members of the congregation to come down to share a profession of faith, to join the church, or to ask for a word of prayer. Same things that we do when we gather. And so last Sunday, two families came down and asked Pastor Garcia for prayer. One was from Venezuela and the other from Ecuador. And the first family asked Juan to simply pray for peace in the middle of all the chaos. And the second family came down and they said to Pastor Juan, we have an appointment with immigration this week to give our fingerprints, and we are afraid. So Juan prayed with this family. And as he prayed, he began to feel something change within himself. His prayers for intercession for this family became prayers for intercession for the whole community. And though the manuscript that he gave me on Friday night says it differently, he must have gotten off script, as pastors are prone to do. Because I distinctly remember him saying, and I wrote it down in pen as he was talking. He said, "As I was praying for this family, I began to feel not only their fears and their concerns, but my own. As I prayed," he said, "I began to experience their pain. As I prayed, I began to experience their fear. As I prayed, I began to experience their suffering." And as he went on, I scrambled to write the words down because as he spoke, I realized I have never prayed like that before. And in that moment, I also realized I didn't need the book. The book that I spent 3 days looking for. I no longer needed the book so that I could bring some fancy quote here for you today from a scholar who wrote some profound words back in 2002, predicting that the next Christendom, which is just a fancy word for saying the next chapter in the story of the Christian church, the book says that the next Christendom would be marked by a spiritual revival led by people migrating from the global south to the global north. 20 years ago, I had a hard time believing that could ever be true. I knew that American churches were dying, but I still felt like it was a stretch that our new life, our revival would come from people migrating from the global south. But ours is a God who says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old, for I am about to do a new thing now. Do you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, for I gave water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise." I didn't believe it when I read it in the book 20 years ago, but I have to tell you, as I heard Juan share his testimony, most particularly his experience of prayer, I couldn't help but have my own kind of revival at the new thing that God was doing. I couldn't help but think of Jesus who took on our prayers, intervening on our behalf. Jesus who didn't have to become as low as we human beings are low, but who did it anyway so that our prayers could become his prayers. So that as we suffered, Jesus would suffer. So that as we were afraid, Jesus would feel our fear. And so that we, when we were in pain, Jesus would feel the pain with us. So that in all of our suffering, we would know that we were not alone. Because Jesus suffered too. At school, we might have called that an incarnational theology. It's just a fancy way of saying standing with, struggling alongside, being in solidarity with all of our neighbors when they are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And friends, right now that valley is stretching awfully wide, especially for our migrant neighbors. They are afraid and they are suffering. They are being targeted and persecuted. Even our sanctuaries are not sanctuaries for them today. This week, Pastor Garcia's words have been the source of my spiritual revival, a movement of God's Spirit from the global south to the global north. And I have found myself entering into new kinds of prayers. And it seems like this season of the offering for global missions, the video with people like Elket, the moderator, like Pastor Juan Garcia, have been divinely appointed, perhaps for a time such as this. So in sharing Pastor Juan's words, I want to say that we are all invited. We are all invited into a new kind of revived prayer today. Prayer that reminds us that this Christianity that we profess with our mouths, this good news that we proclaim with our lips, it's not just about us and our connection with God. It is an anemic faith if it doesn't also include prayers, both spoken and embodied, that put us in unwavering communion with all of our neighbors who are suffering now. And even right now in this moment, I wonder, you know, Newport News isn't that far from here. It's in the same time zone. And so it makes me wonder if Reverend Juan's congregation is at their communion table too. And if they are in fact gathered around their table, preparing to receive these precious gifts of God's grace, I wonder if their Pastor Juan isn't using a variation of the same words of encouragement that he spoke to us at the end of his testimony on Friday morning. Let me share the rest of that with you. "Don't get me wrong," he said. "We still trust God. We know that God has not left us nor forsaken us. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are still standing and pushing through in the name of Jesus because of God's sustaining grace, because God is stronger than all the circumstances around us. Wow. He continued. And right now, we need one another more than ever before. We need the support and the embrace of all of our siblings in Christ. We need the prayers. We need to know that we are seen, that we are valued, and that we are respected as human beings and beloved children of God. We need friends who will speak out against this white supremacy on our behalf. We need people willing to advocate for us, and we need people brave enough to put their own bodies and reputations on the line in order to shine the light and correct any narrative that paints all migrants as violent criminals not worthy of love and compassion. We need one another right now. And friends, I wonder sometimes if the only thing strong enough to hold us together is this table. Because at this table, more than any other table, we are reminded of Jesus who put his own body on the line to feel our pain, to know our fears, and to stand beside us in the struggle.